The lady said yesterday, said you should rip up your notes, right? So that's what I did. So I have no notes. Kidding. It might seem like that, but it's not actually true. Yeah. Yeah, come on up to the front, guys. Yeah, right there. I'm a little... Does it sound echoey out there? Oh, it doesn't. Like, I know we're getting the EQ right. As long as it's good out there, Isaac, I'm great. I'm great. Come on in, folks, up to the front. We're going to be kind of talking through things together and working on it, so we need you right close, and you're going to be working with your neighbors on some stuff, so... Larissa, you're doing the slides, right? Okay, perfect. Okay, I think we'll start, guys. And really, the format of this is hopefully going to be much more of us having a conversation together. And I have some exercises that you're going to do with me and with the people around you. And really, we're going to try to unpack some of what Pastor Mark talked about really quickly. He focused a lot on servant leadership, right? And that you, so you guys are all extraordinary servants. If you were real servants, you would just humbly say no and look down. Oh, well. We'll keep working on that one. We want to take some time to unpack and to say, what does it mean to be an equipper? What does it mean to raise up other people and to enlist help? And to do that together. I had a conversation recently with somebody who was in a position where they knew all the theory about this, but were doing almost nothing that they knew. And they came to me and sat in my office, and they said, you know, I'm all stressed out and everything. I said, okay, give me the mental... This is what I'm doing recently. This is my little deal. I said, okay, God has a picture for your life, and you have a picture of how your life actually is. So what's your mental picture of how your life actually is? And some people are like, I'm Stretch Armstrong. I'm just like being pulled apart in so many different ways. And this guy says, you know that guy in the circus or whatever that starts spinning one plate and they start spinning second plate and third plate and they're spinning plate over here, they're spinning another plate over here and they run over there and everything is teetering. He said, this is my life right now. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, I could just see some of you starting to get tense as I was doing that because your plates are wobbling. This was his deal. And he actually was just as smart as you and had just as much experience as you and everything, but all of his plates were wobbling. And there was this huge internal pressure that he had on himself that somehow he had to do better at what he knew he was supposed to be doing. And that is equipping other people and enlisting their help and empowering other people. I think, guys, you know this, right? In theory, you know that you're supposed to be doing this. Here's the deal that we have, and I want to start this off in a really specific way. What is happening at Church of the Rock, and I hope you get the heart behind this, is actually incredibly extraordinary. There were 275 leaders, and we're not all here. Here's how churches are supposed to work. You're going to agree with this. Is like it grows, and then it kind of plateaus. And you grow and you have one sort of really good growth season in the church and you kind of find your place and the church just sort of stays at that level and you just, everybody works around and they do their stuff. That's sort of how normal church works. For 31 years, our church has just grown. And here's the thing that you need to know. It isn't because your leaders are so smart. There's no other staff in here, otherwise I could just say amen, right? Amen. There, Veej. Yeah, y'all can say that. It's not, right? Do you guys know why Church of the Rock continues to grow? It's the answer that we all should have that you learn in Sunday. Yes. God has just chosen us, and it's all His grace. Like, we can mess it up, right, and do whatever, but I think sometimes, guys, it's good to just stop and to say, you know what, God? We completely don't deserve this. What you have done here is just a complete blessing. All these leaders, what the church growing, multi-sites, online church, all this stuff is just because of the grace of God. That's it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off our session by standing up and giving God a shout of praise. Ready? Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father God. We praise you. Lord, this is all you're doing. This is all you're doing. There is nothing else but you, Lord. And we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we give you glory. It is just you, Lord Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Okay, the session could probably be over, and that would be good. But I think in everything that we do, guys, when we're looking at our life, at everything, we start with that place. We start with saying, God, if it wasn't for your grace, none of this wouldn't happen. And especially when we're in a season of really good, which we're in a season of really good, is we always have to stop and say, wow, Jesus, you're awesome. Because we don't deserve any of this, right? It is all grace. It's all a gift of grace. All right. If we are going to become equipping people, if we're going to empower other people and enlist help, there's a few things that are going to be really important for us to do. And I'm going to start with a couple of thoughts, and then I want you to kind of grab a hold of that. The first thing is this. We actually have to decide that it is worth doing. And there's a personal cost to you in all of this, because some of you are people who really like doing things well, and you know that if you get somebody else to do it, or if they help do it, they are not going to do it just as good as you, right? How many of that's you? I'm actually going to ask you to be honest. Like, please, raise your hand up. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Here's the thing. Are there campus pastors here? Oh, that's fantastic. Good. Every campus we've started, I could do it better. This is going to sound terribly immodest. I could do it better than they could do it. You know why? Because I've had experience. It's not like I'm better or smarter or anything else. It's just that I've been a pastor for 30 years. Hopefully I picked something up, right? And these guys were just starting out. And so in that place, and this is where it sort of became clear to me, you actually have to make a decision if you're going to empower other people to say, and for some of you, if you're a bit, like if you really, really like excellence, if you're an excellence person and you see this, this is going to kill you. Because you're going to realize this is sort of not being done as well as I could do it. And it's the cost. It's the cost of doing this is that you empower other people to do it, and you realize that as life unfolds and as things happen, probably what's going to happen is these people are going to, and you hope that these people actually end up doing it better than you do, right? And that you are empowering other people because there is a breadth of things that are going to happen when you give other people the ability to do stuff that you don't have. Whether you're, how many of you are in small groups, like home groups, ministry, that kind of stuff? Keep your hands up. Okay, real high. I just want to get numbers here. Okay, good. How many of you are in service groups where you're doing stuff? Okay. Okay, good. Good summer. Evangelism, outreach-ish stuff? Perfect. Yeah. In all of those things, no matter what you're doing, there is a breadth to it that is going to happen when you get other people involved and equipped and doing things rather than you just doing it. and you have to decide that it's worth the cost, and you kind of have to come to it this way, I think. You have to really believe in what you're doing enough to know that it's not actually your thing, but it's actually God's thing. Right? Did I hear Natalie? Yeah, there you go. No, that's good. Like, Natalie does coffee, right? And I see all these people going around doing stuff, and Natalie's not doing it, right? And I think Natalie likes doing stuff, right? Right? Yeah. She loves to do stuff, and if she could do the whole thing herself, she would do it. But there is that sense for all of us of saying, you know what? I need to let go of this. I have to believe in this so much that I have to believe that it's not just my idea and my stuff. It's actually God's idea and his stuff. And so he is going to do it. And he is going to do it through other people. And not just in my way, but in a way that I had never thought of it happening. So you have to decide that it's worth the cost. And if you are really highly administrative and a little bit of a control freak, this is going to be even harder than hard for you. Who am I looking at? Yeah, raise your hand up as if, of course. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, it's going to be like even harder for you. And it's okay for you to know, you know what? Hi, you know, my name's so-and-so, and I'm a bit of a control freak. Like, it's okay for you to say that, to recognize who you are. And I'm just going to help you. Oh, you're going to really hate this. I'm just going to help you. Who are those people that you really like to keep things in control? Oh, yeah, there we go. Good. Put your hands down quick so nobody sees it. Yeah, good. I just wanted you, this is like your moment of confession, right? Forgive me, Aubrey, for I have sinned. Yeah, sorry. It is really important that you understand this because it's okay for it to be difficult for you because God actually designed you that way. It isn't that you have a problem. Well, maybe some of you do. It's that God actually designed you with the ability to put things in order, and you're really good at putting things in order, but this means that this is going to be even more of a challenge for you to release somebody else to do it because it is not going to be in order. Okay, so first thing is this, is you need to decide that it's worth it, it's time, it's effort, it's a kingdom purpose, it's actually God's deal. And as you see somebody doing something completely different way than you could do it, you keep saying, it's God's thing, it's God's thing, it's God's thing. And you're going to be free. There was a meeting that we had after our last 40 days. We were sitting around the people who had done it. And I think it's the only time that I can remember, I think Pastor Dwayne crying. I don't think I've ever seen him cry before in my life. And I'll tell him that I said this now, so I'm not talking behind his back. Not that I've ever worried about that in the past. We were all sitting around, and we had just finished, was it 50 Days in the Spirit, maybe? We had just finished doing it. And we just said, you know what? I don't think I could be more proud of being part of a group of people who accomplished what God accomplished during that time. To see these people like stepping out, speaking in tongues and ministering. I don't know if you remember, we had if you were here, we had people in the back at every different campus, and they went and they were prophesying, and they had never prophesied. They didn't even know what prophecy was, and they were doing all this stuff. And there was a whole bunch of us sitting there just all teary-eyed and saying, wow, God, this is what happens when we all do stuff. There is no way that that could have happened unless a bunch of people had just said, hey, we're just going to let this happen. And you're going to be a part of it. And you're going to release people to do things that they're actually not ready for. And then you practice and you give them space. We'll talk about all that stuff, right? But guys, there is such a huge reward for equipping people to be released in the kingdom. And those are moments that you just live for. To say, God, we got to be a part of what you were doing. Man, you are awesome, God. That's what happens when you release and when you equip other people. Okay, second thing is this. You need to get a clear picture. And you need to be able to describe as you are going to be talking to the people around you and connecting, what is it that you do? And you need to be able to say it in a clear and compelling way. So here's what I want you to do. On your papers, You got your papers? Okay. It says, write down a two-sentence summation of what you would say to somebody to describe what your ministry is about. Okay, I'm going to talk for a little bit, and you can think about that. Let's see. Do we have any of our setup teardown guys? Brent, I thought I saw you here somewhere. Yeah, there you go. If Brent is doing, anybody else do setup and teardown in the campuses? Okay, Mike, there we go. These guys, this would be an example of something very bad that they could say. If you do setup and teardown, here's what the way you do. You know when you can do setup and teardown? You got to be the first one at the church. Pastor Danny and Pastor Tim, nowhere to be found. But you get to do it. Then they buy you donuts, right, to do stuff. And they're still not around to do stuff. And you get to set up all this stuff. And you get to take it all out and set it up. And then the lights aren't exactly right because the prima donnas on the stage don't have the light hitting the right side of their place. You know, and so it doesn't work. So you have to do all this stuff and make it happen. And then Matt's on the soundboard back there. And he's starting to hit. And things are screeching. And he's looking at you like it's your fault. And you begin to describe this whole thing. And then at the end of the service, you know what you get to do? Pack it all back up again and do the same thing. And next Sunday it's the same thing. And nobody else shows up. And you're the only person. I actually sort of heard somebody describing it this way. Mike, resonating? So it's my life, Mike says. But you know what? There's actually another way to describe that, isn't there? Is the reason why our multi-site campuses exist is because we have probably 40 guys who have put and a few gals who have put their back into it. And decided that it is their mission to help set up these mobile things with, like, zero glory. And they're there early, and they're there late, but they have got the fact that when their pastor comes and says, how many of you would like to accept Jesus? That is their deal. Because they did what they could do. People are accepting Jesus. People are coming to the place where they become disciples. And they set the table so the gospel could come out. Like, I'm exaggerating on the one side, right? You get that? When you begin to tell people and talk to people, when you're talking with your people who are in your teams and then you're leading with them, it's really important that you have a clear, concise way of saying, hey, this is what our ministry is. And it's going to be compelling because it's in your heart. There's a reason, guys, why you are doing what you're doing. Because God put it in your heart. That's why you're doing what you thought it was, like somebody dragged you in there. No. Right? So here's what I want you to do. Whatever you're doing, take three to five minutes, let's say, and write down what is it that you do in your ministry, because you are going to tell this to somebody and invite them to join you in your ministry. Okay? Take a one sentence. Do you have that home group thing up there? La? This is kind of what we worked last time with our home groups. We said, hey, you know what? We want people to be fully committed followers of Jesus, and we needed to give them a target. So we said, being a disciple is on a journey to be like Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, obedience to God's word, and loving others. The other version of this is you get to lead a meeting for 90 minutes. Right? So what do you want to do? Lead a meeting for 90 minutes and try to get everybody to equally time and get, you know, him to shut up because he talks all the time? Or do you want to do that? Okay, take a few minutes. You can put that down. Take a few minutes in the ministry that you are in right now. Write a two-sentence piece to say, this is what I do. And you are going to have an opportunity to share that with somebody in a little while. So you need to actually write it down. Right? Just, you're not stretching. Why did you do what you're doing? What did they say to you? Right? Write that down. Real nice, easy, quick. If you have another minute or two, is that going to be enough? Okay. Okay, I'm going to get just a couple of you to share it, or a few. Who would like to share? Thanks, Maureen.
I have a community ministry.
Okay.
So it's a place where you get to serve your brothers and sisters in a behind-the-scenes way and give them an opportunity to remember what Jesus has done for them.
Sure. You get to remember what Jesus... Oh, already, I want to serve communion. Sure. Right? Because that there was an emotional pull for you on that, right? Because you wanted to help people to experience communion. Perfect.
Usually it's, I want to sing.
Okay.
But choir ministry.
Choir?
Is to bring glory to God and encourage others in the praise and worship of God and to, I don't know how to word this, assist and give them permission.
Well, sorry, I'll get you started again.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, thanks, Isaac. That's okay.
Choir ministry is to bring glory to God and encourage others in the praise and worship of God. And it's to assist and giving them permission to allow for freedom of expression of that worship.
Nice. Right? She didn't say anything about singing well or having to be so awesome or have amazing hair like Derek.
I wrote, the North End Campus Worship Ministry creates a safe space for people of different skill levels to be a part of a worship team and grow in their abilities while leading the congregation in worship.
Right. Very inviting, right? Because you don't have to be all awesome, right? Even though you guys are great. And you may not know this, some of the best worship happens at North End Campus. Because these, you know, there is. It's good. It's got some good stuff. Yeah. Okay, who else is going? Yeah.
So I'm in home group.
Okay.
And we are planting God's word in the hearts of those in the group. We're caring for that seed with fellowship, love, honesty, prayer, and seeking God's will for our lives while enjoying his presence.
Woo! Okay, we're going to change ours law to that one. That was fantastic. We've got a couple more back there, and then we'll move on.
Okay. Also a home group.
Okay.
We want to make available our home, our resources, time to serve church members and others in the home group within our community. And we also want to support or help raise kids that will become godly and responsible adults within our home group.
Nice. So you get the different generations. Please. Somebody else had their hand up over here. Yeah, we'll go one more and then Brian. Yeah, right over there. Thank you.
I kind of combined both home group and marriage ministry together. Just
awesome. Yeah.
So I have a vessel for God to build godly marriages,
yeah,
and bonding families together to learn more about him.
Right. And you said bonding families together? Yeah. And it's words like that bonding thing, that sort of connects with people, right? And they say, wow, that's what I really want. Is if you have a family, you want your family to be bonded together. Who else? Brian, I think we said, right?
So I'm with the youth ministry with high school kids here. And it is inspiring youth to know who they are in Jesus and live that out.
Hey, that's good. Because youth need inspiring, don't they? They can be inspired by a whole bunch of other stuff, but we want to inspire them. You guys see that? Like, as you're hearing those things, and the more simple they are, actually the better it is. And if you have to have a clear picture if you're going to invite somebody else to something. And none of you talked about the time commitment that it took, right? None of you talked about the hard things, and I know it's not the selling point, right? What you talked about was the vision for what God had actually planted in your heart. That's what's going to draw other people to the ministry. And the clearer that picture is for you, the clearer it's going to be for the people that you're talking to. I would encourage you to hone that, even if it's just for yourself, because here's the thing. There's going to be moments you're going to have to ask yourself why you're doing this. You know, when you're the... No, I won't pick on you because... you know, where you're the only guy, Mike, who's setting up the church, and you say, why am I doing this again? And you ask your wife, and she's like, no help to you, right? And so you have to tell yourself why you're doing it. We need to do that. So you have to decide and get a clear picture. You have to get that clear picture with the thing. And the third thing is this, is you need to come to that place to say, ask yourself, what kind of person am I looking for to lead or to be with me? What kind of person in the ministries that you have? What kind of people do you look for? And there's a natural answer to this. And there's an answer that you think through. But when you are looking around, because all of you want people in your ministries, what kind of person are you naturally gravitating toward that you would like to have in your ministry? It's going to be individual, so just, what is it?
Somebody that's organized.
Somebody that's organized. Okay, because...
Fall short.
So she says, somebody that's organized because I'm not so much. You got other things going on. Yeah, for sure. Okay, what else?
Reliable.
One more time.
Reliable.
Yeah, that helped, eh? Yeah. Genuine. What else?
Servant heart.
And? Somebody who's committed. Yeah. Or could get to be committed, maybe? Yeah. Somebody who can do it better than I can. Yeah. Who else? That side's been good. You get a turn now. Well, who do you look for in your ministries, guys? That is so profoundly uncomplicated, isn't it? Somebody who's willing to do it. I actually like that. All those are good answers, but there is something to that answer. What else? Who do you look for?
A big heart.
Big heart?
Somebody who loves children.
Because you're in kids' ministry. That would be super helpful, wouldn't it? I have a quick story. I looked after, at Niverville, looked after kids' ministry. They had 20 kids, and Eileen and I, because I decided I was actually the least busy guy as they were setting up stuff. You're laughing at me. And so I look after kids' ministry. What happens is my wife takes the crying baby into one section, and I had like 20 toddlers with me, and that I had to entertain. And one of the people who know me said, hey, you know who you reminded me of? It's like that Cocker Spaniel when his ears come up, and he just starts going. And I was like, but it was like awesome. We had the kids playing, and they were laughing, and I was thinking, thank the Lord it was only 25 minutes, because I'm out. Alex, you're in. Yeah, those kind of things, right? Here's what I want to encourage you in as you're looking for leaders and as you're looking for the people around you. You've said, is this worth doing? Do I have a clear picture? As you look in the congregation, people around you, what kind of things do they, in their normal, everyday life, what do they talk about enjoying? There is going to be often a connection between that and your ministry. And sometimes we get like way too spiritual about stuff, right? And it's like, somebody enjoys doing this? Hey, you know what? Maybe they can help out with this. What are the gifts and the strengths of the people around it? Listen to the people who are there, what they talk about. Somebody who really enjoys having their home open and really seems to have people always coming and going for their home, they would be a great host home for your leader, for your home group. There's some ways that you can begin to think about, and you actually begin to open your ears up in a different way. And you're not doing it in anything other than a good attitude, but when people are talking, you're listening to what they're saying to determine their strengths. And because my job here at Church of the Rock is to sort of find people. We've done, you know, 4 campuses, and I'm just like, you, and we've just done this, and God's been amazing, and it's been great. And I've learned over the years to listen to people and to say, what is it that's really inside of you that you're excited about? Because most of the time, A doesn't equal B for most people. They think, I got my life over here that I do, and then this stuff that I'm supposed to do at church. And you ask people what their gifts are, almost nobody knows. Nobody. You think, well, I think, I hope, I maybe, kind of. And you are connecting A with B. And you trust God, he's going to give you the ability to discern that. And he's actually going to give you ears to hear things that you would have never thought of before that connects up. And you're connecting up what they like over here with what's going on over here. And you actually are going to have regular conversations that your ears are going to be popping a little bit and going, oh, I know what that could be. That person could help out over here. One of my favorite stories, I didn't know you were going to be here. One of my favorite stories is Derek picked Kayla out of the congregation worshiping, and now Kayla's the worship leader at Bronx Park. Hello? How fantastic is that? Yeah, you can give God a hand for that. And my favorite Kayla story is we were in Haiti, and there was this church we went to, and it sounded like a 747 started. Like, they were just like, boom, 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 and they were all black, so they knew how to dance, right? And there was these white people, like, seriously, it's a slight on the white people, right? And there's these white people going swaying back and forth, right? Except one, Kayla, she's just giving her. And I have this picture in my mind forever of Kayla dancing in among these people and just going for it. And you know what I saw in that? Somebody who was willing to abandon themselves before God. Isn't that what you want in a worship leader? Right? And it wasn't her deal. She was just out there doing something and threw herself into that. If you have eyes to see, you're going to see it all the time. There are people around you that have a passion and a heart and a desire to do stuff, and you need to just kind of open your eyes and pick them out. God, give us eyes to see. Because they are there everywhere, and they are actually waiting. A does not equal B in their mind, but it does in your mind. Does that make sense, guys? Okay. There are, you know, I'm going to kind of just skip the part about the 4 leaders law. We won't do that this time. So you have come to the place where you've decided, you got a clear picture, you're looking for some potential leaders. Then you come to the place where you need to ask people. How many of you really like doing this? Yeah, to say, will you be part of my ministry? Some of you, yeah. Most of us, here's what we do. We think ahead of time of what the answer is going to be, and we decide what their schedule is like, and we make all sorts of decisions for them. And, you know, I remember people initially, about 20 years ago, somebody said, if you want to be a recruiter for God, you have to not answer the question before they do. And you know what, guys? We do it all the time. We think, they're busy, they're doing stuff, whatever. You can't do that, and you let people decide for themselves what they can handle and what they can manage. So here's what we're going to do. In groups of 4, I want you to get together, and I want you to give your best, clear, and concise pitch for that people to join ministries that you wrote out on your piece of paper. Okay? Right now, do that. Go in groups of 4. And you thought, you know, take a moment, introduce yourself. Get to know each other. point, right? Are we just about through? Has everybody just about gotten through? 1 minute. So did you recruit anybody? Yeah. You're swapping ministries.
Yes.
All right, I want to pull you guys back in. Here's the question I want to ask you. As soon as I have your attention. What was said in your group that you, or how did they say it? What ways did they say things, and what did they say that was compelling? Don't say what you said, though it was fantastic. What did somebody else say that you really found compelling? Well, where are you going, Isaac?
Watch your hand up, no.
Okay, good.
I'm glad you did. No, you're
I think right here. Yeah. Oh, you're not supposed to give the mic away. Rookie mistake, man.
The way it was said, he believed in what he was saying.
Okay.
And he transferred that belief into his words. It's not just ordinary words. It's more like, this is me saying it out.
Right.
And because he personalized it, it made me believe in it, actually.
Right. Came right from them for who they were. Okay, good. Kathy over there.
Well, she just took us behind she was compassion ministry, and when you think of that, you automatically make a judgment of what that ministry would look like.
Okay.
And the way she worded it, she took us beyond that, and she says, "No, it's more than that. We do this is what's underneath all of that."
Right. It's so not just a bunch of bleeding hearts.
Yeah.
Right?
It was just something that you never thought of.
Right. That's really important, right? Because people come with prejudgments to say, "Oh, yeah, I know what that is." They actually have no idea what it is because there's something deeper. Chris.
Yeah, so it was talking about children, which could be like, we're not young children people.
You're not.
But the way that it was pitched, I was like, I could do that activity, play. Like, but it made me believe that I could actually do it, whereas before I'd be like, snotty kids and loud, and what do I do with the diaper? And
yeah, that's awesome. Hey, just but quickly, why? Why was it that way? What did she say, or how did she say it, or what did it for you?
She made it, she said it from a place of passion, but also she said it in a way that I could see myself doing it. Ah. Like it connected. I was like, you know what? Maybe I could do this.
Okay, good. Hey, you know what, guys? We'll keep going some more. Different people as leaders have different languages that they hear, right? Some people are visionary people. Some people are just get it done people serving. And it's good to know who you're talking to speak their language. Because some people are just like get it done people, and you can talk to them about serving and how serving is important. Some people are big picture idea people. And as you get to know them, and the Holy Spirit can help you, but as you get to know them, you realize there's a way to speak to everybody that connects with their heart, because as you know them, you know that's going to connect. That's good. Where's the mic? There we go.
I was signed up to 3 different ministries even before the expo.
That's because you're a servant, Abraham. Yeah, that's why.
The words they choose and the convincing words for the ministry, it was not coming from the heart, but it's explaining it in a completely different way. than the actual functionality of the job.
Okay. Isn't this interesting, guys? You're all leaders. You all get this. And the common theme that's coming out is, wow, I didn't actually know that. And they put it in a way that kind of made sense to me. You're leaders and you're like brilliant and everything. And so you kind of got this whole thing going on. Imagine the people who haven't put as much thought into leadership and doing this. They're hearing it for the first time. It's totally going to resonate with them. Because they have kind of just sort of thought, oh, I think I know what that's about, when they actually don't. Okay, let's do a few more. What was said in your group that you thought was kind of compelling or that you felt that was good? You can go to this side. We don't want these two people to be shy over there. Who raised their hand there? Alex? Oh, I know. He keeps doing that.
So I don't know a lot about tech. It's not something I would ever want to do.
Yeah.
And then I hear about how it lays the foundation for worship, and I love worship. So I'm like, oh, I kind of like that. I
there
like the
you
wording
go.
Of that, laid the foundation.
Yeah, you know what we found is we don't have a lot of visual techs in church, and so what we've done is we've said, you know that people who have a passion for music make great visual techs, right? Because they already have the heart. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that the passion that's in your heart can actually be expressed in the kingdom of God. And as you have ears to hear, guys, you can all of a sudden begin to put it together. Some of you, this is sort of my deal, some of you are synergists, is you love seeing the us make this happen together thing. And if you're that person, if you're kind of designed like that, you're going to be really good at this. Having the right ear for it and saying, oh yeah, you could do this and you could do that and we could pull that together. And as you think about it, you're going to have stuff like that happening. Oh, there's a passion over here. I can connect it with that over there. And you can help each other as leaders to bring somebody. Wouldn't it be neat if somebody brought somebody to your ministry? Oh, I'm going to prophesy that that's going to happen. Yeah. Done. Okay, anybody else? No. Nope. You know what? We're going to move on. So you have decided it's worth doing. You've got a clear picture that you can now enunciate. You decided what kind of leaders you're looking for. You've asked them for what it is. And then here's the thing that Pastor Mark talked about, and I'm going to put it in sort of my own way. You model, you assist, you watch, and then you leave. And it's a really simple process of what Jesus did. He's coming alongside. What I want to talk to you about is how you do this. I actually didn't realize that I did this, but somebody said to me, Aubrey, as we've been doing campuses, you know what you say all the time when somebody makes a mistake? You say, nobody died. It's my thing. I had no idea that I did that, right? It's very good, except when you do that at a funeral. I actually said that at a funeral. I'm still traumatized. Honestly, I just think I am the stupidest person on the planet. But I had so gotten used to saying that because we're doing stuff and you're building ministry and you're getting these people to do things. And what we want to create in our church is a place where you can fail, because failure is not what? Fatal. And you, as a leader, set the pace, whatever your words are, just don't say it at a funeral. You set the pace for that, to people to know that, you know what, most of the time, guys, it is really not a big deal, right? In the big picture of things, what is way more important is the person. Because people have put themselves out there, done stuff, and if you can say, yeah, hey, that didn't work too well, we'll get that next time, and we'll make it happen, and you create that atmosphere of where failure isn't fatal, and the second thing that you create, and this is really important, is an atmosphere of trust. It's sort of a sacred thing, guys, is what's the opposite of trust? Suspicion. This is probably, without being too superlative, this is probably one of the most important things that you're going to create in your teams. Is you create that sense of trust between people, they are going to shed blood for you and for the ministry. If they think that it's not a safe place, and that no matter what, if they know that no matter what, I have your back, and, you know, if things don't go good, we'll talk about it later, it doesn't matter. I will never, ever, ever think bad of you first. Sort of the commitment that I made to my staff. I will never assume bad of you, ever. Eventually, I might. Just kidding. Well, no, eventually, you make a mistake, right? But you don't come in with suspicion. You come in with trust. And it leads and lends a way to connecting with each other and doing it. And that way, you can do that whole model, assist, and leave. And you've created that trust place for people and a place where they just can fail, and it's okay because you failed, and it was okay. Nobody died. Right? It was all good. There you go. One of the interesting things that happened to us, I think this was at West, is the setup team got overenthusiastic and set up a keyboard when there was no keyboard player. This is my favorite story. And so the worship team is up there playing, and there's an empty keyboard sitting there. And you know what's going to happen, right? Somebody in the audience said, "Hey, I can play keyboard." And they now have a keyboard player. It's like so fantastic. Here's what happens, guys. Sometimes the best strategy for recruiting is leaving an empty spot. Because if somebody else is filling it, why in the world would I do that? Right? Somebody's doing it because you kind of feel like, yeah, everybody's competent. And if you were in South Campus, it's so big and these guys are so good and everybody's got it under control. That is so not true. Right? There are places everywhere for people to do. And what's happened to us is we've done campuses. People who could have and should have and maybe would have been serving in South have all of a sudden come to a campus and they've risen up to these amazing places. And I keep thinking, where were you? Right? But the opportunity was presented and they took it. People are actually waiting. You got to believe this. People are waiting for an opportunity. If you're going to give them a place where trust is established and you give them a place where they can fail and it's okay, you're going to see a whole bunch of people begin to rise up. And sometimes the best strategy is you just leave a place open and they fill the place because we got a bunch of amazing, great-hearted people in our church, right? They are looking for stuff and they just aren't sure whether they're the right fit. And you are sure, because you got that thing that you've already written out. Last thing that I want to talk to you about is this. And am I done, Larissa? Pretty much, eh? Okay, last thing I want to talk to you about is this. Our not-so-hidden agenda, guys, is that as you go and do ministry, you're actually helping people to develop their character. Right? You are not just getting a task done. You're actually helping people to grow and to become more like Jesus. And you're helping them to understand that there are some character pieces, there's some convictions, there are some really important parts that happen as you help them to grow and be competent. And if I could sort of encourage you in this last thing, it's this, is if you're gonna err on one side, err on the side of encouraging people in their character rather in their competence, right? Because long after the job is done, God's growing them up into being something that's amazing. And in your ministry as you're serving, how you go about stuff and how you do things is going to be way, way more important to them than the job being perfectly done and everything all lined up and it was great. They're going to remember that time that you maybe took an extra moment and sat down with them and said, "Hey, how you doing? Like, what are you struggling with?" And guys, there's an amazing power to quick words said in a way that have deep meaning. "Hey, you know, I know you're struggling. God's got you." Because sometimes you're in the middle of doing stuff. It's all you have time for. There's other times where you need to get more, but just those quick times where you can talk to somebody and put their hand on their shoulder. I'm sort of like a world-class hugger. It's sort of my deal, right? Hand on the shoulder, a hug, doing whatever that kind of stuff is your thing. Those are the things that people remember long after they've forgotten about how good the service was or wasn't was or however a thing came together. you have the ability, and as you go to help people develop in those things, you have the part of the image of God that you are portraying to the people around you. And you kind of, I never, you know, you don't think of it that way, right? I am this awesome. but here's the thing, I see it. And if there wasn't a, you know, the group wasn't so big, my thought was to start and just kind of go and say, this is who, how you reflect the image of God. Because guys, every one of you does that. And that's the thing that people are going to remember as they're serving with you. They're going to remember God's heart that came out toward them. And for some of you, it's excellence. Like, don't think it's all soft stuff, right? For some of you, you're going to be, like, excellence is going to be the thing that they're going to really get that, wow, they really love Jesus so much that they wanted to give their best gift to God. I'm inspired by that. You have that. And you have a gift to give to the people who are sitting there waiting for you to ask them to be equipped, to be enlisted, and to be empowered. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.